Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We're going to wrap up Yeshua today, Mirtz Hashem. And we are now on Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We just finished the idea that the Jewish people buried Yehoshua after he died in Timnas Serach, which was in Har Ephraim. And we discussed the idea of the Har Goash, the mountain of Goash, the mountain of earthquakes, that Hashem was extremely upset with the Jewish people and their response to not giving a proper hesped for him. We went through that piece. The Navi continues, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayavod Yisrael es Hashem kol yimei Yehoshua. And the Jewish people served Hashem all the days of Yeshua, V'chol yimei hazakenim, in all the days of the elders, asher harichu yomim achra Yeshua, who extended their days after that of Yeshua, v'asher yadu es kol ma'asei Hashem asher asu Yisrael, and who knew all the actions of Hashem, which he did to the Jewish people, during that time that Yeshua was the leader. In other words, the Jewish people served Yeshua, and they served the Zekanim, and they all, because they all knew the things that Hashem did, they saw with their own eyes the miracles that Hashem did. It wasn't something that their parents told them, but rather it is exactly what they saw themselves. So of course they could continue to behave in this way as they did during the times of Yeshua. Now the rabbis tell us very interestingly over here about the idea. It says, Gemara and Shabbos tells us that, because the Jewish people were lax in their eulogizing Yeshua properly, it did not go unpunished beyond the earthquake that threatened to destroy them, and they gave him some kind of a hesped. But as many chazal over here that talk about different things that happened, but one of the repercussions were, Gemara says, Pasuk says, Herichu yomim achrei Yeshua. They extended days after Yeshua. So, on the one hand, it seems that they didn't get punished for what they did. In other words, let's backtrack. The Gemara tells us, I don't know if I gave you that sheet. Did I give you one last sheet? I don't know if we look at that sheet yet? The one on Reish Chav Dalet, Reish Chav Hei, or maybe I didn't print it, maybe I didn't. Okay, maybe I'm just... Yeah, did we do any of that sheet? I don't think we did at all. Did we do it all? We did the right side, the Nisnatzel in the Tefillah, but Aviva on the left side, I don't think we did it all. So, I believe... we're on the left side, Reish Chav Hei, about the sixth line from the top. And so this is what the Gemara says. Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda the name of Rav says, Kol Misatzel B'Speda Shel Chacham, anyone who's lax in the hesped of a Chacham, Roy Lekover B'Chayiv, he's fit to be buried alive. And Rav Chiya Bar Abba says similarly, Kol Misatzel B'Speda Shel Chacham, Ein Amarach Yamim. Person doesn't eulogize a chacham properly, he doesn't have a long life. Mida keneged mida, it's measure for measure, as he quotes a pasuk in Isaiah, which Rashi explains that if you don't mourn for someone because his life was shortened, so Hashem won't worry about your life either and will shorten your life. In other words, there should be a great sadness that a tzaddik's life was shortened. And if you don't care about the shortness of the tzaddik's life, then Hashem won't care about the shortness of your life. So and he writes like what's the deficiency there? So he continues in the bolder print. He says, how strict is the negligence of the if one is negligent in eulogizing a chacham that he's fitting to be buried in his lifetime, and even from heaven they won't care about your life. Atzlusu hi piryo shel choser tshuma slave. Choser hargasha v'choser shikul adas. What is laziness? Laziness, or like we said, they weren't even lazy, but they just didn't do what had to be done. They didn't do the right priority, as we said last time. This atzus is a fruit of not taking things to heart, lacking feeling, lacking the ability to weigh the seriousness of certain events. How is it possible that the wise man of the generation leaves this world after he gave to the Jewish people through great miracles the land of Eretz Yisrael? And after a leadership of 28 years, and the people of his generation, they're not mourning because his life was cut short. How could it be that a servant of Hashem and the teacher of the generation is taken away from the world? And nobody takes it to heart. So as we see, it's Tosos comments, we don't see that it's written by Yeshua. They cried from 30 days, like by Moshe and Aaron. So this was a great complaint, criticism of the Jewish people. And because of that, the Gemara goes on, in the small print, skip a couple lines. So Rav Chiya Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yochanan, who has said that, you know, you're not going to live long. Wait a minute. Look what it says in the next verse. Vayavdu ames Hashem kol yimei Yeshua. The people served Hashem all the days of Yeshua. V'kol yimei came all the days of the elders. What do you know about the elders? Asher harichu yamim acharei Yeshua. Who had extended life after Yehoshua. V'asher ro was kol maaseh asher v'gadol asher asher Yisrael. So what's going on? They lived a long time. The Gemara just said, you're going to get punished. You won't live long for not properly eulogizing a tzaddik. And we see they were had arichas yamim more answers amalei bafloy you Babylonians yamim harichu. It only says they extended days shanim lo harichu. They didn't extend years. They didn't live much longer after Yeshua passed away. They extended days, but they didn't extend years. They lived a little bit longer, but they didn't live very much longer. And therefore, this was their punishment that they did not live such a long time afterwards.
Were they old as well? I mean,
they could have lived longer. They could have lived longer, but they didn't. Now it's in.
Older than they were.
What could be? Yeah. Most likely he was. I'll tell you why. All the men between 20 and 60 died in the desert, except for Yeshua and Kalev and the Levim. So whoever made it into the desert was under 60. Right? Right? Whoever was in the desert lived through and came into Israel was under 60. And they were only 28 years under Yeshua's leadership. So the oldest they could have been was 88. Yeshua was 110. So it doesn't seem that those that came lived, the leaders, the ones who could make the decisions, doesn't seem that they lived much longer. Now, there is one thing we should mention in the pasuk before, by Timnas Serach. Over here, the place is called Timnas Serach, which is in Har Ephraim. And in Sefer Shoftim, they call it Timnas Cheres. And the word Cheres, the rabbis learn, it means, it's a reference to the sun. And we're told that what they did is, after they realized their mistake, and Hashem was upset with them, so they wanted to kind of make up for it. So what they did was, that where he was buried, okay, by the... by his, whatever it is, if he's buried, they put a monument there, whatever they put. But by his kever, they put a picture of the sun. They put an image of the sun to say that, that people should walk by and say, oh, whoa, you know, the man who made the sun stand still, he passed away, so terrible that we lost such a person. It's all kinds of shilas if we were allowed to do it. Is that you're not allowed to really make pictures of the moon and the sun and the stars, things like that, but, okay, for the mourning, it was, for the fact that they were showing some mourning, it was, permissible. And they wanted people to feel bad because they realized they made a mistake. So, now they made up for it, so to speak, and they gave him a proper, monument to reflect on how he acted. Okay, moving on now. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Now here is an interesting thing that is a little bit of a question. It says, now we understand what's going on over here. Okay, so he died, and they served Hashem, and then the Zakenim died. Ves Atzmos Yosef, Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, Kavru Bishchem Bechelkas Asada Asher Kana Yaakov Meis Bnei Chor Chamor, Avishchem Bmeiksita Vayu Livnei Yisrael Lenachal. And the bones of Yosef, which the Jewish people brought up from Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem, in the portion of the field which Yaakov bought from the children of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 ksitas, that's a money value. And it was for the Jewish people, a nachala, it was for them an inheritance. So, so the question is, I mean, there's an obvious question over here. Does anybody see the obvious question over here?
Why they didn't do it earlier? Why they waited so long to bury his bones?
Okay, why they waited so long to bury his bones? So, truth of the matter is, it can't be they waited so long to bury his bones. It doesn't seem to make sense they waited so long. It seems that they probably buried his bones 14 years earlier. The real question is, why is the Navi writing this now? I'm sure he was buried 14 years ago when everybody got their tribal portion. So why is it mentioned now? It doesn't seem to fit into the overall flow of the Psukim. Right? So some suggest the following answer. Let's read Pasuk Lamed Gimel, and then you'll see why. Elazar ben Aaron Mace, and Elazar the son of Aaron died. Vayikbaru oso begivas Pinchas, they buried him in the ridge of Pinchas Beno, Asher nitan lo b'har Mitzrayim, which is given to him on the mountains of Ephraim. So some of the commentaries say that, you know what, let's look what's going on over here. Yeshua died, and where was he buried? He's buried in Timnas Serach, which is in Har Ephraim. Elazar, the son of Aaron, dies, and where do they bury him? In Givas Pinchas, which is in Har Ephraim. So if they're already talking about great tzaddikim who were buried in Shevet Ephraim, so they're going to mention Yosef as well, who is buried in Shechem, which is also in the tribal portion of Ephraim. So therefore we have three people all mentioned in Har Ephraim, so it all fits together. In other words, even though it's not chronologically true, but if we're already mentioning important people who were buried in the mountain of Ephraim, so we're going to mention him as well. That's one answer. Now it's interesting again. Elazar ben Aaron also dies. Okay, what's the connection? I mean, he's not such, you know, it's the book of Yeshua. Okay, Elazar was someone else. So why mention him? So I guess it will also probably be part of this idea that he was punished as well for not eulogizing Yeshua properly as well. And he passed away as well. And that's what the Mephorshim ask. They say, who wrote these last five verses of the Sefer? The last four verses of the Sefer, or last five, from Chav Tes to Lama Gimel, who wrote that Yeshua died? So, because Yeshua wrote his Sefer. He wrote Sefer Yeshua, but he couldn't have written the last five words. So they say Elazar ben Aaron wrote it. And then who wrote the last Pasuk Lamed Gimel? So we say it was Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar wrote it. But you see that he also was punished for this. There perhaps could be another answer to this question. Perhaps. And that answer would be that this story with Yosef, you know, is not such a pashut story. And we mentioned the whole reason the Jewish people made this big error because they had the wrong priorities. They prioritized the mitzvah of inhabiting the land over giving a proper hesped over Yeshua. So the question is, you know, first of all, where did they learn to make that mistake? So you could say that this is exactly the Mita Keneged Mita, because the truth is Yeshua also perhaps had misguided priorities, because he had delayed in conquering the land of Eretz Yisrael. so that he should live longer. And he had other priorities. He figured it's better that I live longer, and as opposed to conquering the land. And he had a mistaken priority. So certainly it would make sense that he would be punished mita keneged mita, measure for measure, that people would make mistaken priorities and not give him the proper hesped as well. That would certainly, you know, make a lot of sense. It's also interesting that Yeshua was punished to a certain degree that he didn't leave any Talmidim over to continue and propagate everything that he did, because we just said that his the Zakenim left died shortly after his death. So that was all kind of like not such wonderful things.
That would be more a punishment for the Jewish people, not for him.
Well, it all goes hand in hand. The Jewish people were not exactly making a, you know, when Jewish people aren't happy, they usually express it. You know, I've never failed to not see Jews tell me how unhappy they are. So if they don't like something, they let you know about it. So if they thought the leaders made a mistake, they would have let them know the leaders made a mistake. Right? Everybody was okay. It's no problem. Leaders didn't decide to do it. We're not going to decide to do it. You know, there is a certain amount of that the Jewish people have to realize there should be some instinct that they have as well. Now, it could very well be that they're mentioning the idea of the Atzmus Yosef, the bones of Yosef, in the same concept. Because, you know, the whole story with Yosef and all the tragedy of Yosef and the fact that there's so much similarity between Yosef and Yeshua. What are the similarities between Yosef and Yeshua? First of all, Yeshua is a descendant of Yosef. He was the beneficiary of the better blessing of Ephraim over Manasseh. How long did Yosef live? 110 years, exactly as much as Yeshua lived, exactly 110 years. Why did Yosef die 10 years earlier? Just like Yeshua died 10 years earlier, Yosef died 10 years earlier. Why did he die 10 years earlier? The Gemara in Soita says, because five times he heard his brothers, when he was masquerading as the viceroy of Egypt, he heard his brothers say, our father, your servant, did such and such. When they were referring to Yaakov, they said in front of this viceroy, our father, your servant. Now, it's not very respectful for Yosef to hear his father being referred to as his servant, and he didn't say anything.
He accepted it.
Now, of course, if you look in the Chumash, you'll only see that they said it five times. Only five times. So what about the other five times? The answer is, we know that Yosef, when he wanted to, in order to fool the brothers to not think that he was their brother, he had Menashe pose as the interpreter, and they would speak in Hebrew to Menashe, and Menashe would speak in Hebrew to Yosef, even though Yosef understood it, and then Yosef would respond in Egyptian, and so they thought that Yosef didn't know Hebrew. So now let's think about it. Five times they said, our father, your servant. And they said that in front of Yosef, but to Menashe. Menashe translated it five times, our father, your servant. So he heard it for a total of 10 times. So 10 times he heard that his father, his servant, he didn't say anything about it. So it's interesting, it's interesting. So the question is like, so what do you want him to do? What was he supposed to do? I mean, remember this whole idea of Yosef having his brother go through this ordeal, and the suffering that Yosef made, as the Al-Sheikh explains, was so the brothers would do teshuva. He's trying them to get them to do teshuva, because you know they had sinned greatly with their brother, so he had to pretend he didn't know them. It wasn't just Stam, you know, taking revenge on them. Chas v'shalom, Yosef would not, is a tzaddik, he wouldn't take revenge on them. And it took a lot of self-control for him not to reveal himself to his brothers. He loved his brothers. And he had to not tell. He was hoping that they would do tshuva through what he's doing with them. But they didn't. So part of his plan was to pretend that he's the viceroy. He can't blow his cover in the middle of this opportunity for them to do tshuva. So what do you have to say? So there's only one answer. There's only one answer. Gemara, Pirkei Avos says this, and the Gemara says you know, you should run away from Rabbanus. You should run away from public service. And Gemara mentions why Yosef dies 10 years earlier, because he was a leader, and says leadership buries its leaders. If one is a leader, one dies earlier because one is a leader. You could say all kinds of reasons. The aggravation that you get is certainly there to give enough premature sickness to somebody. But we see that they all die for reasons as well. Chazal just don't say, well, he died because of aggravation from the Jewish people. You know, it says Yosef died because he heard his father being mentioned, his servant 10 times. Yeshua died earlier because he was delinquent in the capturing of the land, because he felt it was more important that he should live, etc., etc. So what do you see? What do you see? You see that leaders have to make decisions, and quite often they're unpopular decisions, and quite often leaders are put in places where they have no, they have what we call the no-win scenario. Because they're not, you know, most people, you know, deal with very limited amounts of people. Their lives are not so complicated. Lives are not that complicated. But a leader is extremely complicated, because it's not just his life. It's millions of people he has to take care of, millions of conflicting needs, and he has to make the decisions. And his decisions are not easy decisions, and quite often, whatever decision he makes, it's more of the lesser of two evils. So I think the great example here is Yosef. Yosef and Yehoshua as well. Yosef, he has to figure, I got to get my brothers to do tshuva. This is very important. I have to masquerade as who I am, right? And on the other hand, he's hearing his father being called his servant. He's hearing his father being called his servants. On the other hand, he has to stick up for his father's honor. And he said, if I stick up for my father's honor, how am I going to be able to continue with this plan? So a lot of times when you have to be a leader and you have to do the right thing, you're also going to do the wrong thing together with the right thing. And you're going to naturally be doing things that you're going to be blamed for. In other words, he had no choice, and that's the price you pay for being a leader.
Moses going through the same sort of thing?
Well, Moshe, he lived till 120.
Yeah.
He lived till 120. But in fact, he died also because of his people. He died, or better yet, let's not say he died, but he was not able to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is something he wanted so much, because he hit the rock. He hit the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. And it was only because, as being the leader over the Jews, that he fell in that mistake. If he wouldn't have had to be the leader, he never wanted to be the leader of the Jewish people, right? He would have been able to, if he was a regular rank and file Jew, he wouldn't have sinned to the golden calf. He would have gone to Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe said, Hashem, you know, he always, whenever he finished any job, he gave the Jewish people the Torah from Sinai. He says, okay, can I retire now, Hashem? No, I still need you. Every time he'd always say, no, can I retire? It's enough. He said, no, I still need you. Okay? So he still needs him to the point that, you know, he has to make, and he always felt he wasn't cut out for the job. And ultimately, he finally stumbled and made a mistake, and he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure Yosef was not thrilled to be the viceroy of Egypt. It wasn't like his dream come true. He wasn't thrilled that he had to be the one to teach his brothers how to do tshuva in this way of mystery. But he had to, and therefore he had to do things that may not have been 100% the best, but he felt it was much more important to teach his brothers a lesson. At the end of the day, could he have made a better decision? Perhaps, because after all, Hashem did take 10 years away from his life. Maybe it's always a question of, as we said before, and this is another example of choosing the right priorities. It's always a question of choosing the right priorities. And the Jewish people figured, well, we have to settle the land, and that's the priority over giving a hesped over Yeshua. Yeshua figured, well, you know, I think it's a better priority that I should be alive and that we shouldn't conquer the land. Because remember we said, as long as he'd be alive, they wouldn't sin. I guess it's a better priority they shouldn't sin, that they should conquer the land, and perhaps they will sin. And Hashem said, yeah, but I told you that they should conquer the land. And he made a mistake in priority, so he dies early. And it could be as well that Yosef made a mistake in priority, that he felt, you know what, it's better to, as much as I love my father, I will hear my father being called a servant, even though it's not proper. And maybe he should have said, you know, he should have said, maybe right then and there he should have called the game off. And he should have said, you know what, guys, stop talking about our father this way. What? Maybe that would have been a better time. Because you see, at the end of the day, you see, it's funny. He wanted the brothers to do tshuva. Therefore, he made him go through all this mita keneged mita business. But at the end of the day, they didn't do tshuva anyway. At the end of the day, they didn't do tshuva. So it comes out, he was figuring they should do tshuva. So I'm going to have to pretend to be the viceroy. And I'm going to hold out as long as I can. Right? Meanwhile, he keeps hearing his father being called his servant, and he's not responding to it. He said, well, I don't have a choice. I have to do this because I want to do tshuva. So what happens at the end? At the end, they don't do tshuva. So that didn't help anyway. At the end, he gets punished for not sticking up for his father's honor. In other words, you see, even Yosef, because again, when you're that leader and you feel that this is the better way to go, sometimes, you know, you hear, well, this is the overall better way to go, and therefore, you know, other things will have to suffer. Other things will have to suffer. And Hashem was saying, no, you were wrong. Your father's honor should not have suffered. Yeah, but then how would I be able to get them to do tshuva? So God said, you know what? That's my problem, not your problem. You know, you have a mitzvah to honor your father. And you failed. You had a big calculation, a big cheshbon. You prioritized. You were wrong. And I'll show you were wrong. Because even though we drag it out a little longer, they didn't do tshuva anyway. They didn't tshuva anyway. So it wouldn't have helped. And therefore I think that's why they're mentioning Yosef over here. You know, Yosef, you know, we're mentioning the whole burial of Yosef and all these things to kind of put into that connection that this was all something that Yosef had this problem and his descendants would also have this problem and suffer from this problem. And I think that's where it all fits in. And that whole story of Yosef is all priorities. It's your mamish. It's unbelievable. I mean, who really did take Yosef out of Mitzrayim? It's interesting. It says the Jewish people took him out of Mitzrayim. But wasn't it Moshe took him out of Mitzrayim? It says, Vayikach Moshe as Atzmus Yosef. Moshe took the Atzmus Yosef out. The Jewish people didn't even take the bones of Yosef out. And what do we learn from that? Gemara says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. A wise of heart grabs mitzvos. Everybody else, when they left Mitzrayim, they were running to take the loot from the Mitzrim. Because that was a mitzvah too, because Hashem wanted them to leave with wealth. But Moshe was bothered with which mitzvah? Taking the loot, taking Yosef out. Achacham lev yikach mitzvahs. A smart person grabs the more important mitzvahs. Everyone's grabbing money. Again, it was a question of priorities. Who's going to be involved in taking Yosef out? Who's going to be involved in taking the money? Everybody wanted to take the money out. Moshe took the bones of Yosef out. Which was the better thing to take out at the end? Well, when they came to the Sea of Reeds, and they were stuck by the Yamsuf, why did the Yamsuf split? Because it saw the bones of Yosef. So Moshe had picked the right priority of picking the bones of Yosef. So the bones of Yosef is always like this symbolism of prioritization. It is a clear example of that. And Moshe succeeded, although we see from here that ultimately he died, and the Jewish people were the ones who buried Yosef, and we say whoever finishes the mitzvah gets in their credit. So we see that the end of Savior Yeshua is quite a sad ending, because he was not able to live longer and help the Jewish people longer. The people who followed him didn't get to live longer because they didn't have the right priorities, and it really was a great, fast, quick ending in a very strong way. You have Yehoshua and Elazar and the Zakenim all leaving. And when you have a whole group leaving in a big, quick amount of time, usually it means something not good is going to happen afterwards. And that's what happened when the end of Sefer Shmos, or the end of Sefer Bereishis, said Yosef and his brothers and the whole generation went out. And then the Jewish people, you know, ran into troubles. Yeshua and the Zakenim and Elazar and all these, they all died in a very short period of time. So there is going to be, notwithstanding all the efforts that Yeshua made, that the Jewish people should try their best, but you see the Sefer Shoftim is a difficult tkufa for the Jewish people, because there was this break, there wasn't a clear leader who takes over in the same way it transferred from Moshe to Yeshua, it does not transfer from Yeshua to the next generation in that way as much as we would have liked. With that, Chazak, Chazak, Nis Chazek, Baruch Hashem. Hashem helped us, we're able to finish Sefer Yeshua.